Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
ancient civilizations, barbarians, and the Enlightenment. And those are three little categories which I didn't think was all that relevant. But I've sort of time travelled back to the ancient times. I actually looked at the ancient style of thinking, and then looked at the sort of the fall of the Roman Empire and the coming of age of barbarian style thinking, which so it's sort of like a mix. You would have to say that the church coming forward as the central power was a sort of a fusion between barbarian thinking and ancient thinking. And then you've got the Enlightenment. And previously I had this idea that it's all a little one sequence after the other. The ancient happened, then the barbarians happened, then the the Dark Middle Ages, and then the Enlightenment. But then I sort of realised, oh, hang on, these people are using things from the episode before. So in terms of that, the episode before really stuck in, and it took me a while to actually work out sort of the big clue for me, and it's not much, wouldn't feature for you all that much, is the some of the ancient ideas floating around the Middle Ages, what I call the barbarian period, that the basically the chaos. The Middle Ages was sort of like a chaos is normal type of stuff. And the thing that really struck me was that when the church was really trying to understand what Galileo was saying, and they weren't actually particularly concerned about the heliocentric viewpoint. There was a whole lot of other viewpoints that they were concerned about. They didn't understand it at all. And they couldn't comprehend the new direct speak of, I saw this, I thought that. What they required is in the ancient thought of a dialogue. And sort of Plato wrote his ideas as a dialogue. And in essence, this is like a film script, a play. And in that you could have, it was beautiful in that it was slowly put out and you could actually talk about it in small segments. So other people could come in and look. It's like looking at the movie of trying to work out what was going on there. Plato would have ancient people. He'd have a certain theory about their caricatures and stuff like that, and was able to build it up so you could sort of know about it without knowing too much. You had sort of the entire introduction and dialogue instantly. It was sort of like a summarised for you, so you didn't actually have to really understand that much about what was going on. Similarly, now you could watch a movie about World War II. You could watch a movie about World War II and not have too much worry about it. You're like, you're there in the movie theatre. Whereas previously, before that, you had the requirement to study World War II, have academic debates, you know, go through this entire process. So it's a lot, it's like a shortcut. And in essence, we do a lot of that today. A lot of people know what they know from this very ancient thing of watching a documentary. So really the modern media is bringing the ancient craft forward. Now, the interesting thing was the Pope said, I want you to write a play for me, a dialogue, and write it between these two people. And when Galileo did that, it was Simplicio, he did actually understand it. And he did communicate, they did understand what was going on, but they were able to say, to cast additional interpretations into that ancient view. And so your model for me is that you've got this modern Enlightenment happening, but under the hood, people, the currency is still this of the period before, and we still have it today, in that the idea of a theatre and a dialogue and people acting it out is very much democratic parliament. You have people who act, actors who act for the view, and they do a play, and the play happens in parliament, and it is decided, and we have agreed that this theatre has actually taken over. So this is interesting for me in terms of taking a new look at Parliament, because what actually happened to me is that I came up with my representative, and my representative said, "Oh, look, I prefer really to deal with the crop people I'm dealing with. I won't see you." And so essentially my representative didn't represent me, and using it's not like there's a third, sorry, a fourth layer. You've got the ancient, the barbarians, the Enlightenment, but you've also got the theologians, and the theologians can actually, using an ancient form of rhetoric, to actually try and manoeuvre your brain around it. And the manoeuvre around there was, I'll just go up and see if my friends are still there. I was sort of walking up to check on an old guy who's always here at a certain time. I'll have to stop at this point in time. So I'm back again, just after dropping in on my friend who always has a breakfast at a cafe, so I know he's a bit elderly, a bit frail, and so I always drop in on him. Now, the I suppose the critical thing here is just trying to watch what the heck is going on here. The critical thing here is the realisation that Parliament and the way that we organise things is still extremely ancient. So we get people who are actors, and we set them up, and we get them to play, do a play with dialogues, and people can have speeches in the dialogues, and they make a speech in Parliament. And really, although Parliament is something, is a very ancient, ancient way of doing things, it's not necessarily the best, in as much that sort of general thing of training up expertise to actually go through and generate ideas is, say if I'm doing surgery, or say if I'm building a bridge, I train people, I qualify them, I do all these things to actually, and I have processes to make sure the decisions are correct. And of course Parliament is anything but that. Okay, now I'm going to have to go in to visit some friends, and I'll get back onto it. But the interesting thing is that we've got these legacy ideas, and when they don't work, we try and work out what's going on, and you go back to actually seeing that there's some more fundamental problems. So, looking at the Parliament process and democracies, it is no wonder, because the fundamental thing of ancient ideas is that people worked out how to overrun them, and the most simple way of overrunning them is the barbarian view of sort of undermining it and and all that type of stuff. So one of the things is that you look at something and it doesn't work, so like the parliamentary system or the system of government doesn't work for you, and you think it's like an old steam engine in the middle of the desert, and a bit falls off it, and you run, and you put the bit back on, and you dress up in the uniform, load it with coal, and then it goes chug, 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 and it doesn't work. The fact is that you're strategically in completely the wrong position. You're in a desert, and things aren't going to work for you. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here as I continue my journey around. I've got to buy some milk to take it home, some spare milk. I'll get going, and I've got to see the Glenbrook Fair which is a rather quiet affair at this point in time. Continuing the podcast, I've just gone in and bought 4 litres of milk because it's slightly cheaper that way, but it's absolutely heavy and going through my hand. Unfortunately, the little bits and pieces I have are falling apart, so I'm holding my podcasting machine. The rubber band which held it together perished and went off, so I'll see how I can go home. But this is sort of like an allegory to rushing in and fixing something, and we are tended to be addicted, obsessed. Everyone's facing this sort of broken steam engine, which is our government and democracy, and I sort of came in and thought, oh look, this is the actual situation, this is the way it is. This is me reporting to my member. Remember, I said, look, these people are corrupt, I've got strokes, I need some help. And at the end, no help came, no representation came, and I was left to get it going for myself. And I said, oh, well, this is rather bad. Who's actually representing people with strokes? And I thought about it for a while and thought, well, what's the situation here? This is obviously not working the way it should be. You know, the vested interests get to go where they want to. Can't wait to get to this section and give my arms a long earned rest. It's a little bit of pressure, but it's also freezing cold coming along here. Oops, so waiting here for a while. Okay, the guy's still in there. I can't believe this. They're still having breakfast and talking away. They can bullshit forever. Hello. Okay, so I was resting the milk by the restaurant. I initially stopped up to drop in on my mate. So it took me a while to realise, and I sort of had a Carl Sagan moment. Well, Carl Sagan famously said, oh, look, if you want to detect, see your systems are good enough to detect life, why don't you, as you're sending them off into space to detect life, point them back at Earth to detect life? Because of this, and if they work, if they say yes, there's a possibility then your systems work, or if they say no, not at all. So you sort of proof test it here. And so this sort of thing of saying, well, who is there representing people with strokes? Strokes are very much it's our throwaway society. Have a stroke, you jettison the people. And there's when people go into jettison mode, they go into jettison mode. Once they decide something is junk, they don't longer fix it. They put it out in the rain and they throw it out. So that's very much sort of the lead from your if the parliament, the people at the top, don't represent you, and you can easily get the label of being jettison junk. It's not just me, but sort of a whole lot of other people in that area. And what sort of happens is that people don't get thrown out, but they have only an isolated group of people looking after them, and there's just such a slow, they're not really looked at being repaired, they're left at being put in the shed. So what we sort of tend to do is, rather than polish people up and get them going again, we sort of relegate them to the shed to be actually eventually thrown out. We've still got them, we haven't thrown them out yet, we're doing it. And this goes in a complex way with a series of complex systems. We've got the ancient system, the barbarian system, which is sort of taking over our ancient system, perverting it, and the interesting thing is looking through is the method going across. So when I say barbarians, I'm saying these are the people who pervert the ancient system for barbarian game. That is, they have a treasure mode of thought, that a treasure view of things. And perhaps Napoleon was the last real treasure-mounted barbarian economy. He gained wealth by conquest, and so you can actually have conquest over people and actually get wealth by actually taking over a country, going in, raiding their banks, sort of like bank robbery, sort of social bank robbery. And really that's what's happening, is that a whole lot of people have got these barbarian ideas, and they're not growing society, they're not benefiting everything. They've got this conquest model of interacting with life. Oh, good God, there's some friends coming up. This is sort of, hang on, this is not working. Work back, well, who is really representing it? And it took me a while to actually come to the idea that indeed I'm absolutely representing people, and I'm representing people in not necessarily a parliament or anything like that, but more in the sort of post-barbarian parliament of enlightenment and communication, which I do think is coming up here. I'm going to have to stop talking soon because these people are coming up. Okay, yeah, so this is, I suppose, if you take the imagery of a steam engine, Thomas the Tank Engine, in the middle of the Simpson Desert, and everyone running up to it, and resources, trying to get water and coal to it. Really, it's because we've sort of come up with the way of working our way forward is the non-analytic sort of, like, we raise people. There's a sort of a line in the sand between education and indoctrination, and people say that if you are properly indoctrinated, that will help you, because you'll know, be able to have the language of indoctrination, which is slightly different from education. So you learn to accept discipline, accept advice, yeah, to a certain point. This is all this focused in the old system. And the real horrible thing is that if some of the people there are in fact barbarians, have a little bit of a, instead of a Roman helmet on, but have a, or the Roman was a sort of a barbarous, you know, a terrible, terrible system. In fact, all these systems so far we've come up with are pretty terrible. Okay, that's the end of this. I'm back talking. I'll do a few podcasts on Cosmos Magazine. Hope that makes sense. So, dividing up our human progress into ancient civilization, barbarians, and enlightenment, and a lot of the things we are dealing with. We're not in the age of enlightenment, we're in the age of enlightenment veneer over a barbarian veneer over an ancient veneer. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.